Right, Harry, we're here today to pick the best 11 players you've ever managed. Or best 10, because I know I'm in it.
No, I'm joking.
Not easy, Merce. This is going to be hard. I suppose the best keeper would be David James. He was fantastic. Talent. Mad as a hatter, but what a talent. I mean, stay behind after training for an hour, practice, love being a keeper. And he was fantastic. I'm going to play with three at the back, Merce, because I've got so many good centre-halves. I don't know where to start with them, really, or where to finish. I mean, I think I'd have to go with, obviously, Rio Ferdinand. I signed Rio as a kid.
I would say he's probably one of the best centre-halves I've seen in my time. Yeah.
Could do everything. Played in midfield first. My dad went to watch the game at Chelsea. First team had a game at Newcastle that night. And my dad rang me, so I've just seen the best player I've seen in years, Harry. Unbelievable, but real talent. I'd play three at the back. I'd play him and I'd play Sol Campbell. Sol was a fantastic player. You know, strong, quick as lightning, wasn't he? Powerful, had everything. Ledley King would be my other one to play three at the back.
How good could he have been, Harry, if
he could have
been
just amazing. He wouldn't train, he'd just have a little jog with a fitness coach and just, yeah, I'm okay, and he'd play next day. He had everything, but it's such a shame that he had that knee, you know, just ruined his, finished him in the end. Right backs, again, not easy, you know. I'd have to say I would probably think Glenn Johnson.
Do you think when you took him from Chelsea, did you think he'll go and kick on again? Because
yeah,
obviously,
I did, yeah.
no disrespect, but from Chelsea to Portsmouth was a gamble for him, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, at the time as well, he rang me, Daniel Levy at Tottenham, when I was manager of Portsmouth, and said to me, what do you think? I had Glenn Johnson on loan the year before, and he said to me, Harry, what do you think about Glenn Johnson? We're looking for a right back, and we're thinking about taking him. And I said, no, he's not good enough for you. I said, he's a decent player, but if I was at your club, I wouldn't be taking him, which was an absolute load of lies because I fancied him for me life and I wanted him at Portsmouth. Maybe that's why Levy got rid of me in the end. He never forgot that.
Yeah.
And when I went there, he went, what about that Glenn Johnson? You told me you weren't good enough and then you signed him a week later. And I said, Daniel, that's football. So he was fantastic, Glenn, yeah. I'd play with two wing-backs and my left-back would be Julian Dix. He had a left foot like a magic wand. His left foot, he'd come out in the mornings. Again, he was one of them. Didn't warm up, didn't stretch. Come out, he'd be booting balls, flicking up balls for 40 yards onto someone's chest, volley, bang. Technique was incredible. Great in the air. Couldn't beat him. He was quick, determined, hard as nails, but a real good player and all. That left foot, could do anything with that left foot. Frank Lampard would have to be in my team, that's for sure. What a player he's become. Again, there was a kid there who just, he was different. He trained like a lunatic. You know, 15, 16 years of age, just so determined to be a player. Everybody would be gone in, had their lunch and gone home, he'd still be on the training ground. Every day, not once, one day, every day. The best trainer I'd ever seen before him would have been his dad. Amazing how he's, obviously, you know, Frank Senior rubbed off on him. He's top drawer, no doubt about that. Luka Modric would have to be there.
Yeah.
Fantastic, great footballer.
He struggled like mad before you went there, didn't he? He looked like a fish up a tree, to be honest. I don't mean that horribly, but he looked lightweighted. He looked like he just wasn't good enough for the Premier League. He was going to get bullied, but you put him in the middle and he was a revelation.
He's a super player. My front two, not easy. I played Di Canio. No, Di Canio was a genius. It wasn't easy to manage. I've got to be truthful with you. It was hard work. Every day was a tester with Paolo. But he'd have days where he'd come in with a needle and have the hump with the world. And another day he'd come in with his glasses on, singing Valare, and you'd use him for a good day. Amazing footballer.
The best story ever was the one when you were getting slaughtered that day at home by someone.
Bradford, yes.
He wanted to come off.
Three penalties he'd had turned down. He didn't give the third one. He walked over to me and sat in front of me, crossed his legs. Boss, I don't play. I thought... I'm going, Paolo, get up. I said, we're losing 3-1 to Bradford, Paolo. Paolo, as they're playing, they're running round him with a ball. Dean Saunders went round the goalie and missed an open goal to make it 4-1. I'm going, Paolo, get up, Paolo. And in the end, I'll get on. Please, I couldn't tell you what I said to him in the end. And he got up, played on. Anyway, we ended up winning. We got a penalty in the last 2 minutes. Him and Frank. Frank got the ball. Frank's a penalty taker, Paolo wants the ball. They're pulling the ball off each other for a minute. In the end, Frank thought, I can't win with this one, so he let Paolo take it, and Paolo walked up and no danger, scored. Maybe I'd go with Wrighty. I think Wrighty in his prime would have been...
Wrighty was...
Goal scorer, great goal scorer. I've got myself in a mess here, Merce, because I've suddenly... I've got two players who've got to get in my team, and they've both got to play. So I think I'll have to leave one. I might have to leave Parlo out of my team somehow. I'm getting a problem here because I've got to get, obviously, Gareth Bale's got to play.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, Gareth, now we are talking, what a player, what a player he is. He's the full Monty, you know, he's 6'2", edit, run all day, dribble, shoot.
Yeah, there's
nothing,
good, yeah.
Nothing he can't do. Yeah. I think he's the third best player in the world behind Messi and Ronaldo.
Really?
Yeah, but he's top.
I didn't realise that.
Yeah, and then obviously I'm looking at my number 10 and there's only one man because when I took over at Portsmouth, my first season, I think they'd finished fourth from bottom the year before. And I thought...
And a couple of years before that,
I thought, I've got it all on here, you know. And suddenly I'll get a phone call from... Steve Cutner said, would you be interested in taking Paul Merson? I said, would I be interested? I said, I don't think he's going to come to Portsmouth. He said, no, he wants to play. He just wants to play. I said, well, his wages are going to be a problem. He said, well, don't worry, Villa will sort that out. You know, they'll... And we took Merson, and I ain't saying it because he's sitting here, and he just changed the club around. When Merson walked in, I remember Linvoy Primer saying to me, and it's a gospel truth, he said to me, I never thought I'd play with Paul Merson. And it was that's how it was that year. You came in, and you gave the whole place a lift. You bought, you know, you scored goals, made goals. We got promoted, walked away with the league that year. And I would say that without a doubt, Merce, without you coming, we would be nowhere near that.
Well, that was the man management at the highest level. Because I remember when I talked to you, and you said about coming down for a couple of years, we'll give it a right go. And I said, Harry, I don't want to move down for a 2-year contract, and I'm not travelling down every day at my age. Because I'd had that experience at Middlesbrough a few years before. I remember you saying, right, well, don't work Mondays, don't work Wednesdays, don't work Fridays. You make sure you eat and turn it on a Saturday.
Yeah.
And I remember saying, I'll be down in the morning.
The best story of all was when you come to see me and you said, Gaffer, I'm going away. I'm going to have a few days at Tony Adams' clinic. I went, no problem, Merce, great. We ain't got a game for a fortnight. So Merce goes up. Anyway, I'll get a mate of mine lives in Barbados. He went, Harry, just seen one of your players there. He said, Harry will walk up the beach. I went, one of my players? He went, yeah, Paul Merson. I went, no, it can't be Merson. I said, he's at Tony Adams' clinic. He said, no, I've just seen him. When he come in, it was like December or so, middle of winter, freezing cold. He's coming. You've never seen anyone so brown in your life, you know. I went, how you doing, Merce? He went, yeah, I feel better. I thought, I bet you do, you know what I mean? I ran around with him and said, you took... And I went, oh, well, never mind. All right, Merce, I'm glad you feel better. On the Saturday, he scored 2 goals. I think he won 2-0, so...
You never said anything, did you? It's only about 2 years later you told me that you knew about
it. I could have had a row with him. We'd have had a bust-up. I'd have booted him out. He'd have gone. Suddenly, I've lost my best player. The team falls to pieces. We don't get promoted. I'll probably end up getting the sack at the end of the year. So that was that. We kept him. You know, sometimes you've got to go with it, haven't you, Merce? And that, I knew what he could do to me when he played and how good he'd been, so we went with that.
Yeah.
Lovely to see you
Cheers,
again.
And wish you all the best this season, mate.
Top man.